Since midnight in Montgomery. Just hear that whippoorwill. See the stars light up the purple sky. Feel that lonesome chill.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Wednesday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the program, you know what to do, 251-343-0106. Still to come on the program here in a little bit, Joey Clark from News Talk 93.1. That's about an hour from now, about 2 hours from now, our friend Scott Buttram, which we will dub the Katie Bread response, if you will. That's coming up at the 11 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. But here at the Faro Bureau, a bit of a busy time at the Faro Bureau these days, but we're always appreciative of our time. State Representative Jennifer Fidler is here with us. Representative, good morning. How you been?
Absolutely fabulous, especially since last Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning. I was ecstatic over the results that we saw coming in that morning.
Much better than I thought it was going to go. I thought Trump would win, but I didn't think he would sweep all those states.
Yeah, I stayed up to see the results come in, and you know, I was watching the more conservative channels, so saw it, I guess, happen at 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning. So just I was excited to see it, relieved to see it, and excited to see what he's doing with all the appointments.
I mean, it could have been a bumpy ride had Kamala Harris won in Alabama. I mean, you had talk about a special session and trying to enact some kind of statewide immigration. And I'll bring it up because of this. I mean, you've seen it here personally, and heard from your constituents. I mean, they're worried about 100 different things that pertain to immigration, and they're calling their state lawmakers. You can't rely on the federal government if a Democrat's in the Oval Office, I don't think.
No, that's our duty to shore up the state, especially if we see the federal government's going outside, what it should be doing, what we feel like it should be doing as a state. So I was absolutely in favor of going into special session and trying to shore up the state, with things for... and I still think we have to do something. We have to look at our immigration laws. There is a group together talking and studying that. I think, that is most very important, even though we do have a Republican in the White House now, I think, and he's strong on the border. We still have to look at that, and we're still going to have those 30,000 CHNV, those people coming in, participants of that program, coming into the country legally. So, we have President Trump will be doing something with the illegals, but they'll be here legally through that CHNV program, and they're going to be placed somewhere. We just don't know where. And remember, we cannot find that point person on the federal government side that actually answer questions and tell us where they're going and what the plan is and if they even have support or resources. So we found that these folks coming in, the Haitians coming in, don't really have any resources. They don't have the money. They don't have insurance. They don't have. And so they're kind of left on the backs of folks, the communities that they're coming to.
Well, let me ask you this. I guess with the new administration, is there any, we think that he'll rescind the CHNV, and Trump will rescind that CHNV parole program. Is there any hope of finding that point person now with a new president in charge?
Yeah, I would hope, hopefully, yes. We feel like we're going to have somebody who can answer questions and we hope that will come to a close. not sure what our plan is, for the people that are here. Part of the issue is that, we're going to have industry say, hey, we want some of these folks because we can't find anybody to work for this, this price, or we've got to try to keep our product cost low, and then these folks will come in and do it. So that is going to be, I think that's what, one of the things we're going to hear from industry, that they're going to want, you know, some of our immigrants. And we need our immigrants that are the, especially the hard workers that are out there in the landscape industry, the construction industry. We probably need to figure out how we can help with a pathway to citizenship. You know, how come it, you know, does it need to take 15 years? I'm not sure.
But
you
Representative, know. I mean, we are the most business-friendly state in the union, I would argue. I mean, we give out incentives. We do what we do with tax abatement, and we build water and sewer infrastructure for these companies to come here. In the spirit of the idea is that they will create more jobs for Alabamians. If they're creating jobs and no one's there to fill them, and they're having to bring in more immigrants, and then you have the local infrastructure, healthcare, education system, and they're just sort of subsidizing a lifestyle for these businesses to be there. I don't think that's something that we really signed up for, and that's where you get the pushback on this expedited immigration. I mean, like, you know, if somebody's not going to come to work for you at a certain price. Well, the way the labor market's supposed to work is you raise the price, and if that means the cost of goods go up, then so be it.
Yeah, those are interesting points that you have. And I definitely think there's a balance. You know, you're right. We're industry. We're recruiting industry, new industry. We've got some great packages out there. Yeah, we've identified that the workforce participation is mighty low here in the state. And so, yeah, we do have, there's a need there. So, yes, there's a balance. And what is that balance and the tipping points?
Yeah, it's just a frustrating thing. And I think this gets back to the immigration problem. It's not necessarily that people are anti-immigrant, but when you artificially influence the labor market, and you drive down, you import labor, and it makes it cheaper. Well, it doesn't just make it cheaper for these low-skilled jobs. I mean, it's like, you know, they say the rising tide lifts all boats. Well, the lower tide lowers all boats because the labor market becomes more competitive. And even at these entry-level jobs, these low-skilled jobs, whatever it may be, those lower wages are going to drive down wages elsewhere throughout the economy. And I think these are like things you got to talk about in a state that has a 56% labor participation rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are interesting points. Now, you know, one of the things whenever our minimum wage went up so drastically, I would always, you know, have this point. I would say, now, I know this sounds great or sounds good. We're raising all the minimum wage up, but y'all think about it, because that low and having a restaurant, we could tell you firsthand that hamburger that you were paying $8 or $7 for is about to go up to $12. Are you going to be okay with that? Because whenever we raise that minimum wage up, everything goes up. That low person on the totem pole who may be a 15, 16, you know, they can come in now 14 years old, 15 years old, 16 years old, that don't know how to sweep the floor and use that broom. And that's the fact. They don't know how to use the broom. And they don't know what a nickel is. And we've seen it in the restaurant, our restaurant business. And so when you're training and teaching basic skills like that, you cannot expect them to be at a $15 an hour minimum wage. You have to set, because your higher paid employees are going to expect the ones with the more qualifications, the ones that have been there the longest, the ones that have shown you they're going to be there, they're going to be loyal to you, that they're going to make sure that hamburger's done right and, you know, cook to expectations. Those are the ones that you really want to make sure they're higher than the $15 an hour. So, you know, we got to understand that from that business perspective. And, you know, it's not just about when you say this, everybody should be making $15 an hour. Who are we talking? Who's everybody?
Well, I hear you. I mean, government imposed wages or wage limits or, you know, minimum wages or whatever are kind of silly. Yeah. Let the free market decide what that value is for that 15-year-old that sweeps the floor. And if they don't want to take the job, don't take the job. You know, it's go find some other job somewhere else. And I mean, maybe having a floor of like $7 or whatever is fair, But just generally speaking, saying, well, we can't find people to fill these jobs, we need to bring in immigrants, always seems a little, it always seems like you're just chasing the cheap labor, and not you it personally, but in general, it just seems like we're creating policies and we're paving the way for cheaper labor for these big businesses. And that's fine, I guess, at some level, but it also, there's winners and losers in everything. And I think there's a lot of losers here when it comes to immigration policy that aren't necessarily just the immigrants, but the people. I mean, it's why Trump won, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's gotten out of, definitely the border opening it up, it's gotten out of hand. But I'll never forget the conversation I had with a, in Fairhope with a restaurant owner. And I just point blank and ask them, when I go to all these little festivals and things, I'm asking people where they are on certain issues. And I remember him looking at me and saying, open up the border. I said, what? You're the first I've ever heard say that. He said, I just need somebody to show up at my job and, help me. I have a restaurant. I got to, serve this food, and no, I don't have employees showing up to work. So, that's part of, I think it falls back on us, as our children get up and, the lower, paid jobs. I mean, we still got to show up for work. I mean, that's, you're hearing that from our restaurateurs. I mean, that's, and these folks will show up to work. So, there's a balance.
Joined by State Representative Jennifer Fidler here, always very kind to come in and do her appearance every other week. Talk about some other things. I think the immigration thing will get better now that we have a new president in charge. Some of the other things you think about with Trump coming in back to the White House, just a general economic optimism, and I think, especially in a state like Alabama that's very pro-Trump. I mean, don't you think that that's going to have eventually, maybe a year from now or so, we'll see the benefit of some of this, especially with I know Shamari Figures is a new member, but rest of the delegation in this state, aside from Terry Sewell and Figures, very pro-Trump. You got to feel good about that. Barrymore and just sort of there's going to be some big changes from where we are today to where we are a year from now, I think.
Yeah, I am excited for Congressman Moore. His win, he's been down here a couple times in the past since I've talked to you, Jeff. He came and had the Baldwin County Republican group asked him to come down. So he was there at the Tin Top a couple weeks ago. We had a watch party in Robertsdale. He sponsored that. He was there for that. Could have been in Mar-a-Lago, but he was there in Robertsdale, Alabama, with constituents here in this congressional delegation. So happy to see him. But yeah, it's going to be interesting, and what they're going to be able to do. Hopefully, the first thing they'll do is pass the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act is the one where we're making sure that only citizens of this country are allowed to vote. I was shocked. Even I think most of us don't realize that all you got to do is check a box and say you're a citizen. You don't really have to prove
that
you're.
You don't have to prove it, right? You don't have to show papers or whatever you are,
Yeah, right. And so the SAVE Act will have a procedure that you have to prove that you're a citizen before you can vote.
Let me ask you something else real quick. So some of your colleagues, especially in the upper chamber, Senator Orr, a little bit Senator Elliott, a lot of, I think Steve Klaus over in the Wiregrass, are talking about some kind of early voting in Alabama besides the absentee ballot process, kind of like they do in Florida with they open it up like 2-3 weeks ahead of the election, and then you have one precinct that stays open throughout the election, the 2-3 weeks before the election, up until election day. Is something like that going to ever happen in Alabama, you think?
I don't know. And I've heard talk about it and saying, that would be a good idea. I did go up and visit our absentee process in Baymanette before the election to kind of see how it was going. And we had over 8,000 absentee ballots came in, people who couldn't make it because of work requirements or what have you. They were out of town, and that closes 5 days ahead of time. So early voting would, you know, eliminate that, I guess, or change that somewhat.
Yeah, because and we talked about this. I forgot who it was with. An early voting sort of system maybe mitigates some of the potential for fraud in the absentee balloting. Now, I know we got tougher laws now, and things have changed with the Keel bill and all that. But the idea that if you do it this way and you have more of a sort of centralized like early voting process, you take away some of the risk for fraud. And it just logistically, in Baldwin County, Representative, I was in and out of my polling precinct at the Fair Oak Baptist Church in like 3 minutes. We signed in, showed our ID, and you know I hit straight Republican and circled some of the amendments on the back, and then went on my about my life. But before we moved to Fair Oak, I was had an apartment in Daphne before we bought this house, and I voted at the Daphne High School. I remember waiting in line for like 2 hours, and there's just ran in 2020, and there's this random variance in Baldwin County, which ought to all be uniform and the same of wait times and whatnot. And there does seem to be something there that presents a challenge to some of these precincts.
Okay, I voted early in Marlow, and I voted at 7 o'clock. Or 17. I was in line at 10 after 7. I waited about an hour. At that same precinct around 3:30, 4 o'clock, there was no line. So, you know, you just, it depends. And I think, I'm trying to remember back. I got the numbers on those. But we do have some polling locations, and it'd be best to talk to our probate judge. But we, like Three Circle, they have long wait lines. He cannot find another polling location for those folks. And as soon as he does, we'll be able to open that up. And I've got an idea for him. But there's 10,000 people in that one. There's 10,000 registered voters in that one polling location. It is the busiest in our district over here. And we have 202,000 registered voters in the Baldwin County right now. So, it depends on how many registered voters are in that polling location.
Gotcha. Let's get a quick break in here. State Representative Jennifer Fiddler sitting in with us for at least another segment. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.